On this celebration morning, our scripture comes from the book of Acts, from the second chapter as we remember the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. Now they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galilean? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native tongue?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Amen. Well, there was a small town that had a fire department, and the local chief was there at the fire department, and the phone rings. Picks it up, and he says, "Fire department," and the frantic voice says, "Send the fire truck." Click, and then they hang up. Chief's like, "Well, what do I do?" He waits for a few minutes, and about 4 minutes later, the phone rings again. And once again, it's the same frantic voice. And he says, "Fire department?" He says, "Send the fire truck! Click!" Once again, he's like, "What do I do?" Today's our second Sunday in looking at the theme, "What's in your hand?" And if the question is, "What's in your hand?" the answer for today is a flame. All right? So let me ask you the question. What's in your hand? One more time, what's in your hand? And the reason I want to talk about a flame today is because our scripture talks about that. Let me remind you, it says this in Acts, when the day of Pentecost had come and they were all together in one place, and suddenly, say suddenly, whoo, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them, say this with me, tongues as of fire, distributed and rested on each one of them. And so here we get this image of the fire, the flame. And I want to say it wasn't a fire, but it was as a tongue of fire. And so the Holy Spirit is symbolized as a flame or the fire. Let me give you a picture of the United Methodist symbol here. The symbol has the cross, which reminds us that we are saved through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But it also has that red thing. What's that? The flame. It's a divided flame because it represents that we're united, other denominations coming together, United Brethren, as well as the Methodists, and we became the United Methodist Church. So it symbols our unity, but it also reminds us that we are people who've been saved by Christ and moved by the work of the Holy Spirit. Say that again, the work of the what? Holy Spirit. Now, you know, a lot of churches don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. They believe in the Trinity, but for them, the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible, right? But I want to say that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and we want to talk about the Holy Spirit working within our lives, and I want to use that imagery of the flame. So let me ask you a question again. What's in your hand? Flame. When I think of the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the things I want to tell you is that the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. How many of you had a nightlight when you were young? Okay? How many of you still have that nightlight? Come on, Frank Huber. I've been to your house. I know where it's at. No. We might outgrow the need for a nightlight, but we'll never outgrow the need for the Holy Spirit and how it comforts and works within our life. And let me just share with you the scripture that's from John 14:26. It says, "But the Comforter," which is the what? Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." I can remember when I was young and growing up, I used to think, wouldn't it be cool to be like one of the disciples and just like wake up and Jesus is right there with you, spending your day with Jesus, eating with Jesus, you know, hanging out with Jesus. You're about to do something wrong and Jesus turns around and looks at you. So you're like, no, I'm not going to do that wrong. And there couldn't be anything better than just spending all that time with Jesus. And yet Jesus himself says that there is something better. It says this in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here's what happened. Jesus goes away, and he sends to us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And I think a lot of the times when we talk about Jesus in our lives, we're actually talking about the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? When we say, I've got Jesus in my heart, well, guess what? I think we're actually meaning that we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we feel his presence. In times of challenge, in times of difficulties, in times of struggling, the Holy Spirit is with me. Let me share with you a quote by Reverend Alex Shaw. She writes this, I survived because the fire inside me burned brighter than the fire around me. Can you read that with me? I survived because the fire inside me burned brighter than the fire around me. That flame within us is the Holy Spirit. One of the great parts of the comfort is not just that he's with us, but he also reminds us to whom we belong, to whom we belong. When my kids were growing up, and I still do it all the time, we both Sharon and I, we would ask them, who loves you? Who loves you, Becca? And Becca would always say, Grandmommy. And I would say, no, but who loves you? Jesus. Yes, but who loves you? And finally, she'd get around to saying me, right? Well, I wasn't asking her for my own knowledge so that I would know. I was asking her so that she would know that her dad loves her. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit does something as well. It reminds us of whose we are. It says this in Romans 8:16. It is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. So the next time you're feeling alone, the next time that you're feeling abandoned, you're wondering where God's presence is, you're feeling insufficient, I want you to remember the Holy Spirit inside of you is asking you who loves you. And the answer is God loves you. I'm gonna act in on what we've just been talking about. We're talking about not just welcoming people, but actually using the gifts of people. And I want you to welcome my brother Jesse, who just came in and officially joined the church and reaffirmed his faith. And he's going to share a part of this message with me today.
But you will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judah and Samaria and to the ends of earth. In the scripture from Acts 2, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. It allowed the disciples to communicate and have a holy boldness with people from Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. Boldness. Something that I'm feeling right now, being in front of all of you beautiful, wonderful people. When Pastor Joe and I got together yesterday to go over everything that we were going to go over, I was nervous. And I believe that nervous feeling sometimes is what causes us not to allow our boldness to show. So I said to myself, Lord, am I going to allow myself to use that nervousness to go against something that I want to do as a Christian? I want to praise you. I want to speak your word. And right within that minute, it was so simple because I felt the Holy Spirit come on to me. And all of that nervousness and all them feelings are, am I going to do right? What were people going to think of me? It was all gone because I knew I had God by my side.
Amen.
It's not just what I go through on the boldness. It's not what I experience, but it's also what I get to see happening right in front of me every day with the Holy Spirit. But yet, some people don't even know that that's what's happening. And I have three examples that I would love to share with the church. Tanika, will you please stand? Yes, ma'am.
Me?
When Tanika was doing the family promise, something I never in my life even knew about, listening to her words, she passed the Holy Spirit from what she was doing and made me want to be a part of that. Mm. And her words and passing that spirit was the most beautiful thing I could have go through. And I always said to myself, what else have I not been going through? What else have I not been listening to? How long has God been trying to talk to me through the spirit that I did not ignore? What is this feeling? What am I going through? But going through that, thank you, by the way, to Nico, who did a wonderful job. Thank you for sharing the Holy Spirit with me without even realizing you did. Elaine, will you please stand? Last week, when Michelle was going to her class to become a member, I looked at Elaine. I said, you know, Elaine, I don't think I ever took this class. I was like, I've been coming to this church. I've been active at church, but I don't think I've ever took the ministry or the member class. But before that moment, what Elaine did that she did not realize she did, I was standing in the hallway, and she looked up and said, Jesse, you are free to come in and join us. Mm-hmm. And that feeling that I've got right there is a welcome feeling. The Holy Spirit came into me, and I was welcome into that class to be able to now become a member of the church. So I want to thank you for that, for passing the Spirit of the Holy Spirit onto me.
Man.
What we... Nowadays, while we're out, we wonder about more of what we're doing versus what we should be doing. And I'm truly blessed in my life because with Michelle, someone who comes to me, your faith is strong. Can you tell me more about God? I want to understand. To take that time and pray to God, Lord, allow me the words to help someone to the light, and to see a holy boldness within her to say, I love God, I accept God, I fully surrender myself to God. To show that holy boldness right in front of me, it inspires me. To see the church every Sunday sing and meet and greet, it is the greatest feeling, and I believe within the Holy Spirit, that is what encourages us to push on among each other. So, I know I don't have to be great or have all the answers. I just have to have the boldness to share about how great God is.
That's right, that's right.
Paul said, and I was with you in weakness and much of fear and trembling in my words and preaching. Oh, I think I understand what he meant by that today. Not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and the power, and that your faith might not stand in men's wisdoms, but in God's power, in the 1 Corinthians. He's saying that I don't have to be a great speaker, but God took the message and did something with it that I could never do. So what I would like to share is, I encourage every one of you guys, as fellow Christians and all, to show your boldness. When you're nervous, pray. And the reward is going to be much greater.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jesse. Let me make a third point here. And the third point is, don't try to control the Spirit. You know, isn't that what we do sometimes? We're good with fire. We tell fire, you stay right there in the fireplace. Or we tell fire, okay, you stay right there in the engine and don't go any farther than that, right? And sometimes we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We try to put a container on, okay? I want to come to church and I'm going to feel good, but don't make me feel too good. I don't want to raise my hand or say amen. So, you know, I don't want to feel too good. Or don't give me a boldness that actually puts me out of my comfort zone where you want me to go and speak to someone else. And so we try to put a cover over the Holy Spirit in our life. But it tells us in Matthew, no one lights a lamp and then hides it under a bushel, right? And yet, isn't that the exact same thing that we do with the Holy Spirit in our lives? Is that God gives us this incredible gift that gives us the comfort, the boldness, the power, the understanding, and then we try and say, no, I'm going to control it. And as a result, what ends up happening? That flame can get quenched. All of a sudden, we're like, Lord, I don't feel you like I used to feel you. I don't feel like the way I used to long ago. And what's happened? And let me just, if you're in that kind of a situation, let me just give you a few suggestions about how we can, again, reignite the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the first thing that I want to say is this. Keep his commandments. Obey. It says this in John 14:15. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And then right after that, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. So obey. Do what we already know to do. Here's the second thing. Wait, pray, and listen. When Jesus left the disciples, he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. Pray. Don't just pray and talk to God, but pray and listen. It's not an issue of that God isn't speaking to us anymore. It's that we aren't listening. And then here's the last thing that I want to say. Don't neglect what? Christian fellowship. Don't neglect Christian fellowship. There was a pastor who had a faithful member of the church. Every single Sunday they'd be there at church, except all of a sudden they just stopped coming. Didn't see him for about 6 weeks. Preacher goes over to his house and knocks on the door. He opens the door, knowing what the preacher's there for, invites him to come and sit by the fire. And so they're sitting together there, the preacher and the member who hadn't been to church for about 6 weeks, and neither of them are saying a single word. After a few minutes, the preacher grabs the tongues and he grabs a hold of an ember that's right burning bright in the middle of the fire. And he takes that ember and he places it off to the side on the hearth. And so the parishioner's looking at him, what in the world is he doing? As he's watching, though, that ember that was burning so hot and it was flaming, it begins to cool and the flame begins to flicker and then it dies out. And the ember goes from yellow to red and then to black. Well, the preacher gets up and he begins to put his coat on. Before he leaves, he bends back down with the tongues and takes that ember and he throws it back into the middle of the fire. Once again, it burns bright. Turns and he looks at the member, and the member says, preacher, I think that's about the best sermon you've ever preached in your life. He said, I'll see you on Sunday. Well, the reminder to us is don't neglect the fellowship, because we burn bright together, and that we help to ignite in one another the Holy Spirit, and that when I'm around you and you're around me, we allow God's flame to burn within us. So can I ask you a question? What's in your hand? A flame. What's in your hand is the Holy Spirit working within you. There's a fire chief who answered the phone, and the person on the other end said, send the fire truck. Click, and hung up. They call back again. The chief says, fire department. They again say, send the fire truck. Click. He's got no idea where to send it. He goes outside to look for smoke. And as he's outside and sees no smoke, he says, I've got an idea about how I'll keep him on the phone. So the phone rings again. And this time, instead of saying fire department, he just answers and says, where's the fire? And they say, in the kitchen. Click. I just came to remind you where the fire is. If you have been missing it, if you can't find it anymore, if you're wondering where is the flame, it's right in your hands. It's here at Lord's United Methodist Church, where God is blessing us, not for ourselves, but to reach out to the community with God's love. Amen.